first half, second half, it's like chalk and cheese.
That can't be my best bet, but it's up, yeah.
Yeah, it's no stupid red cards, that's for sure.
We'll give you the balls so that we can spring on you and then claw your face off and eat your flesh.
I'm not fully keeping it together. Holding the high line with Rabbi in red. Talking the rabbits and turning heads. With questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home. Thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Rapids fans, and welcome to another episode of Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. I am coming to you on the evening of Monday, October 14th, 2019. Rabbi will not be joining me tonight. It is the off season. The Rapids are not in the playoffs, and even if they were, the playoffs haven't started yet. So I gave Mark the week off. I've got two things that I want to touch on, and then we will get to part one of a three-part series, the Rap Kids, that we have mentioned in previous episodes. Tonight I'll be talking with Sam Vines. This segment was recorded back in late July. Sam had already established himself as the starting left back under then Connor Casey, who is still the interim head coach of the Rapids. I talked to Sam about his soccer journey, discovering a soccer ball, growing up and playing the game in Colorado Springs, how he came to the Rapids, some youth national team stuff, and a bunch of other fun stuff. So I hope you enjoy that. So we'll be running episode one, which is Sam Vines, this week, and then in the next coming weeks, probably next week and the following week, Cole Bassett and then Sebastian Anderson in that order. Really, really good evergreen content from the guys, and I hope that you enjoy that. But I've got two things that I want to touch on briefly. First of all, past couple of shows, Mark and I have alluded to our bonfire campaign that we wanted to do, making shirts to commemorate the 2019 Colorado Rapids Bizarro season. The campaign is now officially live. It went live about 3 hours ago from when I'm recording, and you can go to that. You can get to the campaign by going to bonfire.com/holdingthehighlinepidsbizarroseason. That's all with the dashes and then backslash at the end of that. The campaign will run through November 3rd. And then if we sell a number of shirts to meet the limit that Bonfire has, then they'll hopefully ship by November the 12th. They are $20.19 because Mark and I have a very, very funny humor. They come in four different colors. They call it cardinal, but it's the closest thing that they have to burgundy. There's kind of a light gray. There's a black option. And then there's an ice blue, kind of the light blue Rapids blue color that you have. It says Holding the High Line on the front, Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red, 2019 Bizarro season. It's got a C. It's got two guys going for a ball with one of them slide tackling because Mark and I love D-mids. And then two mountains with kind of a river flowing through it. It's a rapid, if you will. And then it's got the Bizarro season highlights on the back of the shirt as well. We did take a few of your suggestions, so thank you very much to those of you who brought in. The shirt sizes are available from extra small all the way through 3XL. Those are unisex sizes. They've got sizes, a sizing guide for that for anybody who wants to look at that, male, female, or non-binary. So head on over to bonfire.com/holdingthehighlinepidsbizarroseason if you would like to get one of those shirts. We got some pretty positive feedback that people were actually interested, and this is a nice little experiment that's an alternative to the mugs that we have. And then the second thing that I wanted to touch on, for those of you who did not see or whom are not avid listeners of Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com, we have a Pablo Mastroianni sighting. Pablo was on Extra Time last Thursday with Bobby Warsaw, another resident D-mid lover, and then Susanna Collins. Talked generally about some U.S. national team stuff, lots of playing and coaching for the Pids. So I would encourage you to go check that out if you want to reminisce about the good old days of Pablo Mastroianni and maybe him reflecting in a healthy way about what went wrong in the 2017 season that ultimately led to his dismissal from the club. And then he was also on Club and Country for the pre-show and the post-show for the U.S. national team's 7-0 victory over Cuba in the Nations League. So good to see that Pablo's getting out of the house and doing things. You know, I thought he was effective in terms of, you know, what he did. I wouldn't say that he's a media person based on his disdain that he had at times for the media, at least when I was covering the team, and certainly when he was a player and a head coach for the Rapids. But but it's nice to see him doing something, getting out of the house, and I'm curious to see what's next for Pablo. You know, the head coaching job for the Rapids was probably his dream job, unless maybe he wanted to take the U.S. national team job. He did do some brief things with Gary Smith in Nashville. It might have been last year or maybe the year before. Obviously, he has that relationship from the 2010 season, but I'm not really sure what's next for Pablo on that front. You know, he's got enough relationships built up in amongst other people in MLS who either are in a coaching role or who are in a front office role, but I'm not sure if that's what he wants or if the timing or the opportunity is going to be right. And I think in the few years that he's been out of work, I think MLS is definitely up the ante on what the expectations are for a new head coach. So, and I think, you know, it's definitely above to where, you know, Robin Fraser had to be an assistant on a couple of really, really good teams, or you have to have some significant foreign or international experience. And clearly Mastroianni doesn't have that. You know, he alluded to in the interview some of the things that he's learned. So I'd be curious to see what his next opportunity looks like or what he would be looking for. I'm not sure that it's anything more than an assistant coaching gig, you know, working for a guy where he already has a relationship. So then maybe that networking gets him a little bit of an in. But then Rapids Twitter was having some fun with thinking that these things usually happen in threes. Anthony Hudson started a podcast. Mark and I bantered about that last week. Mastroianni was on an episode. I was joking that maybe Connor Casey, probably not, but in my fan fiction, you know, would be starting his own podcast where he'd be interviewing other balls and having a beer with them about and talking about football. And then a couple other people suggested that Oscar Pareja, should he get the U.S. national team job, the opportunity, the open head coaching job at Orlando City SC, then certainly he would be invited back on to Extra Time for an interview. Oscar Brea, former Colorado Rapids manager, left the club under precarious circumstances that I won't recount here, was with FC Dallas, won a couple of trophies, but not an MLS Cup, kind of maxed out with that team in terms of what he was going to be able to win in the immediacy, and then he's now coaching at Club Tijuana in Liga MX. They're mid-table right now. Club Tijuana has normally been a pretty chaotic team in terms of roster turnover and being very up and down in Liga MX. They're not one of the old guard blue bloods. They haven't won a trophy since 2012, and that was the they finished first in the league in the Apertura back in 2012. So Oscar has brought some stability to the club in terms of results and in terms of roster, and that's an opportunity. You know, that's a job where if he does something really good, he'd be looked at more seriously for a head coaching job for a national team in Central or South America. He'd definitely be on the radar for El Tri should something happen regarding Tata Martino's job security with that position. I think it was pretty clear after what happened with the U.S. national team that you know, U.S. Soccer's made their statement implicitly regarding a non-American, non-native English-speaking coach taking the national team job or not even being considered for relatively. So Pareja, I think, made a move that he thought was good for his career. Whether or not he'd even be interested in the Orlando job, given their situation financially and kind of that they've been turning over a coach pretty much every single 2 years, so you have to win regularly, where for Club Tijuana, just being anything other than chaotic and in the top half of the table in Liga MX is probably good enough for him to hang around and then maybe springboard off and do a better job. And I'm not sure the Orlando job right now is, you know, anything more than a lateral move or maybe even a step down for him. But I'd be curious to see, you know, if these Casey or Pareja do make an appearance on any form of soccer podcast in the future to complete the you know, the three former Rapids managers appearing in a podcast capacity. But in any case, that's all the stuff that I have for you this week, folks. Head on over to bonfire.com/holdingthehighline. Pids Bizarro season. We did tweet out the link. I have that pinned to @Rapids96podcast and then also on my Twitter feed. And I'll include a link in the show notes for those of you who can't find it as well. Without further ado, here is segment one of a three-part series, The Rap Kids, my interview with Sam Vines from back in late July. We'll see you next week, probably with part two, my interview with Cole Bassett. We'll see you then, folks.
So Sam, take me back. When was your first memory of discovering a soccer ball and falling in love with the game?
Man. I was probably 5 years old. My parents just threw me in like regular rec league down Colorado Springs, just to see if I'd like it. And yeah, I started playing a lot of soccer, and I loved it. So
Was it a social or activity thing? You know, was it a competitive thing? What about it really made you get into the game?
Just scoring goals, to be honest. Every time you score a goal, everyone would be cheering. All your parents would be there. All your friends would be, hanging out with your friends the whole day. So I just remember all the hype around it.
Mm-hmm. Were you at Pride at that point?
Not then. I was just with a local.
So this would have been like AYSO or something?
Yeah, something. Yeah, just a young team.
Okay. What was it like joining the Rapids Development Academy? Like, what was your approach to that? How did that experience feel?
That was great. I mean, Mitch Murray is the guy that pretty much just brought me up here. He wanted me to train with the U16 team. So, I mean, yeah, I was on Pride before that. And then, Mitch thought I played well. He invited me to come train with 16s for a few days, and I liked it, so I decided to join.
Immediately, two feet in, all the way.
Exactly.
Okay. It's kind of funny you mentioned scoring goals, and now you've been an outside back. You know, what either from a fit standpoint or you fitting into that role made you eventually transition to that position?
I actually started when I was the national team. I was probably 14 year. Coach Hugo Perez. I was playing forward for a few camps, and then he's like, "Oh, I think you'd probably do well at left back," and stuck me back there. And I guess I played well and kept me there. So Rapids decided to play me there, and I've been playing ever since.
Have you had any conversations with Connor about maybe moving up the field? You know.
A little bit here and there, like to run a players, but I like my role here, so.
Okay, we'll leave it at the minute. I'm always amazed at how American soccer from a youth development standpoint has evolved in terms of what we knew 5 years ago as opposed to, 10 years ago when Dallas and New York Red Bulls were maybe slightly figuring it out and nobody had any idea what they were doing. You're kind of in a unique position to where the Rapids Development Academy changed as you were joining it. And then really, the fruits of that labor come out in the form of you and Cole Bassett and Sebastian Anderson. What did you notice and what changed in the Development Academy as you were in it? And how did that help you grow as a player?
Yeah, before there was no academy teams. There wasn't like a DA program. Like you said, when I joined, that's pretty much when it started taking off. All the coaches would help us a lot. Mitch Murray, the guy that brought me up here, he's like, "All right, I want you to come here. It's a development academy. We give you boots, we provide locker room, we provide anything you need."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot different than it was 5-7 years ago. Now it's blowing up. Everyone wants to play in the DA. Everyone wants to play for the Rapids in Colorado. It's a path to the first team. So, for players in Colorado, everyone wants to play for the Rapids. So, people from the Springs, they're taking the drive. They're driving all the way to the Rapids just because they know that eventually they can do it. Like you said, meet Cole.
You were at Charlotte Independence for a good part of the time last year. What was that experience like, getting, bled, so to speak, in the USL?
Yeah, it's a lot different. It's all the way on the coast, all the way, different league, different division.
Mm-hmm. Lots of bus trips.
Lots of bus trips, and let me say. Yeah, I was out there for 2 years, and it was just, lots of bus trips, lots of hard training. It's hot out there. It's humid. It's just a grind through the, especially through the summer. It's 100 degrees, 100% humidity through the summer. So, it's a lot different than here, but it was good training. Got to play a lot of games. Yeah, it was a good experience to be out there.
How different are the leagues in terms of level of play? Like, where does USL really need to grow to try and remotely compete with MLS?
I think USL is more just athletes rather than, actual footballers.
Skill, technical, soccer IQ.
Yeah, soccer IQ. People try to play. I think it's more of, athletic abilities in USL. But, it's still a decent league. It's good for young players to play in and play against fast forwards, big wingers, big forwards, especially for young guys. I think it's a good step in between academy and the first team.
What's the best advice you've gotten from some of the veterans on the team this year?
Just keep your head down. Especially for young guys, you just got to keep your head down and grind it out and not try and get too big on yourself. Just keep that up. So just stay humble, keep your head down, get your job done.
Do you have any specific mentors on the team who've really taken you under the wing or, given it to you when you maybe needed some hard lessons?
Yeah, Tommy's been good. He likes to yell.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's good for me. Good to hear from him. Tommy, mm-hmm. Sam Nicholson, Jack Price, all these guys. Yeah, they're really, really good in trying to develop us and trying to keep our head, our mentality in the first league.
You're in a good position to get a lot of, we'll call it constructive criticism from Tim Howard. What's it like having him, you know, in the foxhole when you're down a man or up a man, down a goal against Portland Timbers? And, you know, he's an in-game pessimist and a perfectionist.
He'll yell at you until you get it perfectly right. I like it. I like when people are getting into you, telling you what to do. I mean, in the end, we're all on the team. We're on the same team. We're all trying to win the game. So, if someone's yelling at you to do better, then you know you messed up. You know you did something wrong. So, I love hearing someone yell and be passionate about the game. So,
glad to know everybody cares. There was a lot of concern around the team, you know, when there was uncertainty with Edgar Castillo's future, and then obviously he ends up leaving the offseason, and there was a whole question of, well, who's playing at left back? And, you know, Dylan Serna has some good moments, and Declan Wynne has some good moments. He gets hurt, and you kind of just step in. And for my money, at least, I think right now, if everybody's healthy, I think you're the first starting choice left back. What was that experience like, and how have you maybe grown into that role more than you would have been last year in Charlotte?
You know, I was just waiting for my opportunity. And, unfortunately for Deck, he went down in that game. But for me, it was great to go into that game, get some minutes, play a decent way, and I thought I could cement my spot if I just kept grinding it out. And yeah, I've been learning from the guys, and they've been helping me out throughout the season. Yeah, I think it's been good.
Where's the biggest area you've grown in 2019?
2019, probably just defensively, just being a better 1v1 defender, and positionally being more attached to my center back. But yeah, over the season, I think we've gotten better as a team defensively, especially when Lalas came in. He helped us a lot. But yeah, just defensively, I've been working on the 1v1 defending and positionally being in the right spots.
Mm-hmm. And then you're kind of in a good position where you've got Lalas to your side, but then you also have Jonathan Lewis to your left, you know, in front of you, who's been a really big impact player. What's it like having those two guys bring in and help the squad, you know, at a critical inflection point?
Yeah, I mean, Lalas, he came in, he's a great defender. He's done really well since he's come out. He's cemented his spot as center back, and he helped us get clean sheets. And I mean, John Lewis up top. I mean, you can't say much more about him. He just beats defenders, tears teams apart. I mean, he runs the park. So yeah, I mean, having him up top has been great. Yeah.
Where's the biggest area you think you need to grow on for the rest of 2019, or maybe an area that you're focusing on to improve?
Just positional, just being in the right positions on offensively and defensively, but more, yeah, when we have the ball, being in the right spots in case we lose it, so then we can lock in teams. So yeah, just defensively being in the right positions.
What are your personal goals for the rest of 2019?
Just play as many games as I can. Mm-hmm. Just keep playing, trying to keep my spot, and yeah, stay in the team.
Mm-hmm. And then you spent a little bit of time with the U-20s last summer. Not a lot this year, of course. You know, U.S. soccer had two other big things that were going on. Olympics next summer. Any thoughts on the U-23s? Any communication with the federation?
Not really. I mean, I just want to keep doing my job here. And I mean, if they notice, they notice. If not, then we'll just have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that you'd like to be a part of your career as you get older, though?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'd like to be in the full men's national team. That's the ultimate goal, to be on the full men's team. Hopefully go to a World Cup one day and
win the World Cup, Captain Sam Vines.
Yeah, I wish.
There's kind of an interesting dynamic, at least with the Rapids right now, in terms of youth development, where there's a lot of newfound expectations, but then a lot of resources, you know, whether it's the Tim Howards or a lot of the European players. You know, a kid turning professional at 18 or 19 is expected if they want to be a starter. And that's where U.S. soccer is trying to go. That's where MLS teams are trying to go. They want, you know, you, the Tyler Adams, the Paxton Pomicals of the world in that situation. So there's a lot of new expectations that might not have been on the homegrown 5-6 years ago. At the same time, you're with a bunch of other guys like Seb Anderson and Cole Bassett who are going through it. There's a bunch of veterans around you and a team and a club that's supporting that. So you have a lot of expectations. You also have a village that's around you to support you. What's that dynamic like?
Yeah, like you said, the whole U.S. national team, they're getting younger and younger. I mean, they're bringing in younger guys every time. Like you said, Tyler Adams, Paxton Pomicola, both homegrown, both they're gonna be with the first team national team for a while. I mean, they've been playing well. I mean, you saw Tyler Adams; he just got signed in Germany for big price tag. So mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the national team's getting younger. I mean, MLS is getting younger. They're signing younger guys every year. So I mean, to integrate all these guys in the first team, it's better for the national team in the end, and better for the U.S. growing the U.S. Soccer.
Mm-hmm. Last couple questions I got, these will all be rapid fire. Favorite hobby or thing to do off the field, or, you know, when you got an off day?
Off day? Either go to the pool or go hiking.
Okay. Any favorite places that you like to go?
Not really. I like Daniels Park.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good spot.
Okay. No 14ers or anything crazy?
No 14ers, not in the off days.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess that's a really good point.
Maybe in the off season. Yeah.
Favorite European club or, you know, non-MLS club?
Arsenal.
Arsenal? Yeah. So...
Unfortunately, I didn't get to play against it.
Did you get a shirt maybe or anything?
No, got okay. Nothing.
I know Cole was trying to get Oatsil, but I heard that somebody from the DA, like, he threw it into the crowd.
Yeah,
and somebody
David
from
Ramos, a guy from the DA, got it.
Okay, so I think Cole should have to, should get some
yeah.
on that, but that'll be a question for him. Favorite player to watch, past or present?
Favorite player, past or present, I mean, probably Messi.
Okay.
Or good, though. I love good.
Okay. Do you have a favorite left back to watch? Maybe you model your game after an outside back?
I mean, Marcelo, he's the best left back in the world, so, yeah.
Sam Vines, thank you for your time, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate it.